I don't know if you've ever suffered. It's something that most people speak about, their suffering, and especially men very often speak about their suffering and things that happen to them, like a man flu or something like that. But very often, everybody suffers in some kind of way, whether that's financially, whether it's physically, mentally, or even relationally. Just not long ago, a few years ago, a tree fell on top of my leg and did quite a bit of damage to my leg. And I sort of struggled through that and suffered a little bit. And up until about a couple of years before that, I had no problems really at all. Maybe a few colds and things like that. But I didn't really suffer that much. But I do sort of sense the suffering sometimes. My wife suffers quite badly with a thing that she has, pain in her face, just continually. And I know some other people who have got some things that they suffer with, tremendous suffering. And it's a subject, I suppose, that as Christians we speak about a lot. But here in this passage, we have three men who are suffering, three men. They all suffer in different ways. One cries out, help. One cries out for hope. And the other gives hope. Suffering is a part of life. And in our suffering, we can take it out on God. We can blame him for the suffering in the world, which many people do. Some even make the excuse for us not following God. If there was a God, how would he let me suffer? Or how would he let my friend suffer? Others cry out to God in their suffering, and when they find no release to their suffering, they abandon the crying out to him. It's like, if you do what I want, I will follow you, because you're worthy of me following you, because you've proved yourself worthy to me. And if you heal me, if you take away the suffering, then you're worthy of my allegiance. Some realize that God owes us nothing. And anything we have is because of his good grace and his good mercy. And nothing to do with how good or bad we are. As you look at the cross, you see two men suffering. One on one side of Jesus, the other on the other side. Two thieves suffering the same thing, guilty of a crime, as you see in verse 41. Both are desperate to be saved from their situation. They don't want to die. They don't want the suffering. They don't want it. And you look at it, and you picture the scene, and you say, I wouldn't want it either. Both these men see the same thing. They see the inscription above Jesus' head, King of the Jews. Both take time to speak to Jesus. Both hear him say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Both are the same in so many ways. And for us, we have so many things with these two in common. We suffer. And none of us will be able to say we don't deserve suffering. Sounds a little bit bad, but that's where it finishes. There is a dividing of these two men, and there is a dividing in humanity. The dividing line is Jesus. It's his claims. It's who he is that divides humanity. Divides families, as is the word of God says. And it's his claims on your life. I want to look at three things. And the first thing is the cross of rejection. One man is filled with his own problems, and not of the other man or Jesus. It seems that they knew each other, these two thieves. Maybe they could have been thieves together and doing jobs together, I don't know. But they seemed to know each other. But he had no concern for him. And really, he had no concern for Jesus, really. The question comes from in verse 39. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Anyone would do for this man. Jesus to him could have been the little magic unicorn on the side of the chair that is invisible to everyone else except the little child. As long as they get him off that cross, as long as this Jesus gets him off the cross, then he's great. He doesn't see anything bigger than this in his life. Isn't just that like the world that we live in today? We cry out for any old thing to make us feel better, or to stop our suffering, or to save us from death, or even to finish our death early, as some people do, because we don't want to suffer. And don't get me wrong, I understand that people don't want to suffer, and I understand this guy doesn't want to suffer. But to be honest, our thought is that suffering has come into our perfect life and interrupts our desires, our plans for our pleasure. So I'll give God a shot, because I'm in a mess and he may get me out of it. And I can get back to partying, my living for myself if he does. I just need someone to get me out of the mess. And this is the thief on one of the sides. This thief's time on the cross, his trial, his guilt, his bad life, hadn't made him think about what he had done. No time for guilt, no time for confession, only blind panic that his pleasure was being interrupted. He only saw Jesus in an escape from the cross. That's what he saw him as. The thief had no spirit of brokenness, no guilt, no penitence, no humility. He could only see Jesus as a possible power by which to escape the cross. He didn't see him, Jesus, as king to be followed. It never entered his mind that he should say he was sorry and should change. Now, maybe that's what you see Jesus as today. An escape from the life that you've had. An escape from suffering. Someone that you can ask for something so that you get it, so that you can get on with your life. And there are many people like that. Some of our churches are full of that. But there, you see, in the end, he rejected Christ because he didn't do what he wanted. If you look at the second cross, the cross of reception, if you want to call it that, notice that this thief doesn't follow the crowd. Verse 35 tells us that the crowds of people and the leaders sneered at Jesus, sneered at a dying man upon a cross that only showed the truth, showed love, showed grace, showed compassion, showed mercy, healed people, did amazing things, made amazing claims. The other thief blasphemes and says, "If you are the Christ." If we are to follow Jesus, then we won't get mixed up by the voices around us that say, "Where is God when terrible acts of violence takes place? Where is God when children are abused?" Terrible things. And sometimes can't understand it. The repentant thief does not get taken in by all the talk. He actually rebukes the other thief by saying in verse 14 and 41. And the second thing you see about this thief is that he knew God was real. That he was to be feared. He bowed in submission to his God, to Jesus. He bowed in submission to him. There on the cross, through his suffering, he bowed to him. What a difference between the two. Going through the same things. The third thing this thief sees is that he was wrong, if you look at verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we deserve the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. He saw that he was wrong. You and I deserve punishment. We deserve all that we get. Jesus has done nothing wrong, yet we're on the cross because of our crimes. We are guilty. We deserve the punishment. He wasn't like the other thief who didn't even discuss that. It's a little bit like our society today. We don't admit that we're wrong. We make a way out of it. Fourthly, the thief saw that his punishment was deserved. Due reward for our deeds. He saw that what he had done deserved punishment. Fifthly, he acknowledged Jesus as different. He had done nothing wrong. He was perfect. There he is, a thief, on the cross, looking at Jesus, seeing Jesus in those moments, realizing who he was, realizing that he was perfect, realizing that his punishment was deserved, that his own punishment was deserved, knowing that Jesus was different. The sixth thing he acknowledges is Jesus is king. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're struggling, if you're in suffering and you're in pain, all you're trying to do is get rid of your ailment, as it were. And if you were on a cross and you realize what the cross is about your, all your energy trying to keep yourself up so that you don't slump and suffocate. And this thief is looking at him and seeing all these different things about him, realizing that he is king. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other thing is that he fears God in verse 40. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation?" He pleads for Jesus' help. He fears God. This is a man that realizes that he can do nothing to gain any salvation, nothing to gain himself to get off that cross, and throws himself on the goodness of Jesus, realizing that all that Jesus is enough. He depends on Jesus and pleads with him. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Do you see the massive difference in these two thieves? They both were on crosses. They both deserved the punishment. They both cried out for help. But the difference in these men was immense. "Are you not the Christ? Then save yourself and us. To remember me when you come into your kingdom." What a difference. Same kind of men, same kind of suffering, same situation, but different outcome. Lastly, the cross of redemption. These men were between the Son of God. Jesus, who was dying upon the cross for the sin of the world. Who was in agony just like them. Who bled just like them. Who saw all the horror on the people's faces just like them. Who heard all the voices just like them. Who was on a horrible cross and all that suffering and all that agony and all that abuse. All that embarrassment and suffering a horrible death, but also different. He was sinless, not like them. He didn't sin. He came into this world, he was sinless. He didn't deserve the cross, unlike them. His cross was oh so different. His words on the cross were words of hope and not despair. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Even on the cross, he had time for people, didn't he? He had time for his mother, John. Look after my mother. The thief, today you will be with me in paradise. He had time for people on the cross. In the midst of this suffering, in the midst of this pain, in the midst of all this abuse, in the midst of all his people running away, Peter, who said, I won't run. I'll be with you. I won't desert you, Jesus. And the moment he's taken, he's off. All his disciples running away. Deserted. But yet he had time for people. His thoughts were for everyone else. Even on the cross, he was thinking of us. Isn't that amazing? In that suffering and all those things that we've already spoken about, he was thinking of us. He stayed upon the cross because of us. He stayed on the cross for us. He stayed on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sins, that we could have the freedom, that we can be with him in heaven. Even on the cross, he had time for people. His death was for everyone else, just like his life was. Even in his life, he thought about everybody else. Who was this? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And yet he was willing to go to that cross, to be despised and rejected by his own, and even the people on the cross at either side. But there on that cross, he gave his life. He also showed to the two thieves a difference. To one thief, not a word. Do you notice? No hope, no assurance, maybe not even a glance. But to the other, there was no delay in the answer, only hope, assurance. Hope isn't, oh, it might happen, it might not happen. The hope that we're speaking about is assurance. Today you will be with me in paradise. What a promise. He didn't even have to get baptized. He didn't even have to quote the Bible. Today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Instantaneous. Why? Because this man recognized who Christ was. This man recognized who he was. And recognized that he wasn't worthy. But recognized that Christ was. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, just in case you might think paradise is another place rather than heaven, because some say it is just a holding place. Some people say that it's just a holding place. Paradise is just a holding place. And he was holding them there. Well, actually, the word is found in two other places in the New Testament. First, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Paradise is the heavenly abode of God, where there are found things prepared by God for those who love him, which are utterly indescribable. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, What no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Mick, you want to go? The second place the word paradise is found is in Revelation 2:7. Here Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, heaven." When he says you'll be with me in paradise, you will be with me in heaven. The Bible speaks about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. You will be with him. But that's okay for the thief, isn't it? You see, the thief was there. The thief saw. The thief saw that happened. And you might say to yourself, well, he saw everything and he was there and he saw Jesus. He saw it going on. So what about me this evening? Are we offered this hope? Are we offered this paradise? Are we offered this heaven? Well, we are, or we wouldn't be here. Of course we are. Jesus died on the cross for all those that would place their trust in him. Do you place your trust in him? Because this is what this thief did. The other thief, no, but this thief did. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Have you placed your trust in him? You see, just like the thief, we are to confess that we are wrong. We do wrong. We sin. We are sinners. We're sinners in our very nature. We sin in thought, word, and deed, but in our very nature we're sinful. We are to confess that Jesus is perfect, just like the thief on the cross. To confess that we are deserving of the punishment for our sins and acknowledge that Jesus himself took our punishment for us. To repent and turn from sin to the only one that can save us from the punishment of sin. This is the hope that we can have assurance that we will be in heaven and paradise with our Savior. We will know sins forgiven and we will know peace with God. What about you this evening? I don't know you. I know some people. I've spoken to some people. But I don't know yous. I don't know where you stand. I don't know whether you stand with the thief who rejected or with the thief that received. And to be really honest, it doesn't really matter what I think or what I see. Or what matters is you and God. Because on that cross, those three crosses, the thief that was accepted didn't really care what everybody else thought. They were all laughing and sneering and doing all sorts of horrible things. And his mate on the other side, he didn't care. He didn't care who laughed. He knew. And he turned to him. He turned to him. What are you going to do this evening? Short, simple message. Three crosses. That middle cross divides humanity. And it divides those in here. Are you in Christ or are you outside? The amazing thing is that opportunity is still available today. Still available for you and for me to have Christ as our Savior. To come just like the thief on the cross. Repenting of our sins. Turning away from them and turning to him. Oh, you may say, well, he only had a short time to live. And that's true. But each day, Christ is with you. Each day, Christ helps you. Each day is a life lived with Christ. What are you going to do with it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the altogether lovely one. that he is the one that paid the price of sin, that he became sin for us that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And we thank you, Father, for many of us here this evening, we have been clothed in the righteousness of God and the righteousness of Christ, that we stand before you perfect, not in ourselves, but because of Christ. Father, we would ask that in your goodness, that if there be anybody here who isn't in Christ, that in your goodness you would convict and convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, and that they too might come to know you as their Saviour and Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that he means to us. And pray, Father, that you would help us to live our lives out pleasing to him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.